Greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here, and I also enjoyed the discussion in Sunday school, and it's very good things to think about and to remember in our lives. What I've been thinking about as an introduction, sort of, is we talked a little bit about this in Sunday school, actually. Sometimes we perceive something or we think something is reality and it's not. And it doesn't really matter what we think and what we believe. What matters is what's actually true. And, you know, so often we can convince ourselves of something that's not true. And reality is totally different. And we can do this with God and what we think about God. And it can really hinder our spiritual life. One of the things I'd like to look at today is being a spiritual warrior. What does it mean to be a spiritual warrior? And most of all, what kind of spiritual warrior are you? And I think this is one of those things where we sometimes don't connect reality with what we think reality is. The two are not connected. They're not the same. And I'd like to read two passages here in the New Testament. I'm going to start in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, and look at what is the reality of spiritual warfare, and what is maybe what is our conception of it sometimes, too. So the reality is, in 2 Corinthians 10, starting at verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Next, I'd like to read Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10, and just three verses there to start off with. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So I think sometimes we want to make the reality of spiritual warfare look a little more, look a little different than what it actually is. If you stop and look at these two passages, you'll see some pretty powerful words here. It doesn't look like a passive, everything's cool kind of life. These are words that are pretty strong words. They're highly charged words. It talks about fighting, about wrestling, about war, about captivity, about casting down. This isn't talking about a bed of roses or a cakewalk. This is some serious stuff that they're talking about here. And as Christians, we are part of that serious battle that's going on right now. And I'd like to look at what kind of soldier, ask yourself, what kind of soldier are you? Does your spiritual life look like the soldier described here in these passages? Does your life look like this kind of a life? Are you available? Are you equipped? Are you willing? Or are you hanging back, disengaged, unprepared, and unwilling? And so the problem is that many people, I think, downplay in their minds what the importance of spiritual battle is, and I think maybe along with that they focus on something else other than what the real issue is. We convince ourselves that reality is that spiritual battles are rare, that it's not that big of a deal, that when they come we'll be ready. But the fact is that according to these verses, we should be ready all the time. In fact, we should be fighting right now. There in Ephesians, Paul says, we wrestle in the present tense. He's not saying we will wrestle or we have wrestled. He's saying we do wrestle. We're doing it right now. It's not an option. It's not something that's going to happen in the future. It's something right now that's an everyday reality. Francis Schaeffer said, "We are locked in a battle. This is not a friendly gentleman's discussion. It is a life and death conflict." So, you know, it's not something, on the one hand, it's not something easy to talk about or easy to to get a good grip on, but it's something that's essential that we understand and that we follow through with what we know and that we're equipped properly. To me, it looks like there's three kinds of people when it comes to spiritual battle or spiritual warfare. There's those that are ready, they're engaged, they're watching, and they're equipped with all the offensive and defensive weapons that God has provided. They're fighting right now. Then there's those that say that don't believe in spiritual battle. They say it doesn't exist. I don't care about it. It's not important to me. And I don't think any of you fall into that category because you probably wouldn't be here this morning if you did. And the third category is those that downplay it and say, it's not such a big deal. I'm ready. If I should need to fight, I'll be ready. I can handle it. So, you know, it's not an important issue to think about right now. And I think, unfortunately, that many of us fall into that category at some time or another in our lives. We get to the point where we become sort of unaware and sort of unengaged, and pretty soon we start sliding backwards. And our culture, I think, has influenced us in that way. The devil has used our culture to blur the lines about what's important and the choices that we make in life. We've been convinced, the world tries to convince us, that what matters are the choices that I make about myself. What I feel inside, what I want, those are the important choices. I need to make those choices based on what I want and what I feel. After all, those choices aren't important spiritually anyway, right? They're not that important, and we deserve it. The truth is, we can't have it both ways. We can't say, I'm going to please myself with my choices, and I'm going to fight as a spiritual warrior for God, on the other hand. If we're not fighting for God, then we're no doubt fighting against Him. You can't be neutral in your spiritual battle. So if the devil can convince us that it's really not important, and the decisions that we make are really not important, he's already won half the battle, because those decisions are going to go his way. If you can be persuaded that God isn't concerned about the things that you do each day, and that all you have to do is just casually give Him your heart and go on your way, then the devil has won most of the battle in your life. He's won the battle of the everyday things. And I think we often focus on the spiritual battles as this big thing, and there's a big sin, or there's someone to be saved, and we see the spiritual battle in that, and we should. There are spiritual consequences in those things, and there's battles there. But do we see the spiritual battle and the spiritual consequences of every little thing that we do, of how we spend our day today, how we spend our week, and what we do with our things? We can talk about, you know, it seems like there's some excitement to talk about demon possession and spiritual darkness in certain areas and evil religion influences and so on. But really, the spiritual battle, I think, that we need to look at really closely is the one that is in our heart and our minds. We can get distracted by looking at these other spiritual battles, but I think the most important spiritual battle you will ever fight is going to be in your mind, and you're going to fight that battle often. In 2 Corinthians, it talks about bringing every thought into captivity, and as I read this, I had to think, what is more insignificant in some ways than a thought? You can't see it, you can't touch it, and most of the time, you'll never hear it. People, that we think thousands of thoughts every day, and very few of them actually do we speak to somebody or speak aloud. But if you stop and think about it, everything we do is based on a thought that we had. Every action that we make starts as a thought, that seed in our mind. And so I think the battle truly is in our minds. That's where we need to fight this battle, the spiritual battle. We need to be focused on the spiritual battle in our minds. And we need to bring every thought into captivity. Every single one. Imagine the huge pile, the huge number of thoughts that that come into our mind each day. Imagine taking every single one of those thoughts and seeing that it follows, it's a good thought, or banishing it if it's a bad thought. And that's really a tough battle. It really is a tough battle. What you let your mind dwell on, that's a spiritual battle. And I think we can all sort of understand that thought. You can let your mind wander, and your mind will wander, but where does it stop, and where do you allow it to stop and stay and camp out for a while? Do you let it camp out in those places that you know you shouldn't, or are you aware, are you prepared and ready to take over that thought and say, no, I'm not going to go there? Other things that we think about and then act on that have spiritual significance, and sometimes we don't think about it maybe, is things like how we spend our money. You know, on the one hand, we can think about what we want to do with our money and buy the latest toys or trucks or whatever, or we can think about what God would do with our money and send it to somebody who needs it, somebody who's on the mission field, or even the school. Most of us are willing to plunk down the cash, or even better, the plastic, without even thinking about what we're doing. We're just thinking about ourselves, but we don't even hardly acknowledge that. But I had to ask myself, if God personally gave me 100 $1 bills, and then said, okay, now I want you to write me a note for every dollar you spent, explain to me why you spent that dollar, where you spent it, what would I do? How would I spend my money? Would it be different? Would I think more carefully about it? And what about our heroes, the people we look up to and admire and respect? That's a spiritual issue too. Those people influence our lives. Do we let negative spiritual influences in our lives by the admiration we hold for people, such as the home run leader this year in Major League Baseball? Or there's the latest musician in Nashville who's really got our attention. Do we run those things by God? Do we let him filter out some of those people, some of those passions and pursuits? Do we let him say, well, you know, you're really pursuing this too much? Do we let him speak to us in that way? You need to refocus. You need to refocus on me. You need to refocus on something else. Another thing that we maybe don't think of as a spiritual warfare issue is just disagreements and fighting with our brother. You know, often we convince ourselves that we have a right to be upset because somebody treated us poorly, or they talk bad about us behind our back. But, you know, if we let ourselves go down that pathway, we're giving the devil that ground, that battleground in our lives. And once he's there, he's a whole lot harder to kick out than he is if we keep him out in the first place. You can decide in your mind, you can make this battle in your mind if you're going to have bitterness, to harbor bitterness, or if you're going to forgive. It's your spiritual choice. And another one is your choice of an occupation. Sometimes this becomes a spiritual issue as well. And I was talking to a man recently, and we got on the subject of the government, and he was talking about politicians, and he said, well, I knew a guy, he went to Washington, he seemed like a really nice guy, and he had a moral line that he had, and he seemed to be a moral person, but somehow when you got there, everything seemed to eventually be blurry. Everything was available to be compromised. Sometimes we have to look at our occupation and say, which is more important here? Is it my relationship with the Lord or my money, the money I make? And I heard a story about a man who, because of his job, he was tempted with a sin that would have really ruined his life and the life of his family. And he knew he was at the brink of that temptation, and he knew he had to do something. He talked to a friend of his, several friends, and they told him, you're going to have to leave your job. You're going to have to get a different job. And he said, you know, all these thoughts went through his mind. This is my this is the job I've worked in for 15 years, and I'm one of the top employees in the company, and I make a lot of money, and my wife doesn't work, and what am I going to do? But he saw that choice, and he knew that the most important decision that he was going to make there was not about his job or his money or where he was going to get another one. It was about his spiritual life. He knew that that was the important choice that was at hand. He saw through the other parts that were there, and he realized that's the choice I have to make right there. And he made a choice to quit his job. And he found another job, and he didn't go in the poorhouse or anything. But he made that choice. So while I'm not saying that we should look for a spiritual battle at every little point and be afraid that we're going to face some spiritual battle at every little instance, I don't think we should be unprepared either. I think we should be prepared, not overconfident, but prepared. And this boils down to our relationship with Jesus. And if we're not tied into that spiritual source, we're going to make the wrong decision when it comes time to make those decisions. And we might not even realize that we made the wrong decision at that point. We may be so blinded to our own desires and to God's desires that we just choose blindly what we want and don't even think about it. But if we're every day reinforcing our connection with Jesus, the true vine, we can be confident that we can win these battles. I'd like to continue reading there in Ephesians 6, starting at verse 13. This picture we see of the Christian as a soldier is really a good one. It really reinforces how we should look at ourselves as spiritual warriors. It says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the saints, in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." So if you look at this picture, you get a picture of the soldier standing here, and he's got all the proper defensive and offensive weapons that he needs. Going down through that list there, I'm not going to go into detail necessarily, but you see the defensive weapons he has: truth, righteousness, the gospel of peace, faith, salvation. And then the offensive weapons: the Spirit, the Word of God, which is the Word of God, prayer, and then watching. How does your life stack up when you look at these things? Do you make that connection between these things and how well equipped you are for battle? Do you make the connection between needing truth and righteousness and faith in your life to how well you're going to succeed as a spiritual warrior? We have to connect that together and say, well, you know, if truth is lacking, if faith in my life is lacking, and if I don't have righteousness in my life, then I'm going to have a poor armor. I'm not going to be able to withstand the fight. I'm not going to be able to withstand. And the offensive weapons: if I don't pray, if I don't watch, and if I don't have the Word of God handy, and I'm not into it and know what it says, then my offensive weapons are not there. We have to have all of these, all of this equipment, you could say. So one thought that came to me as I was reading this is that you read in the old stories, you'd read about the soldier, and he would go into battle, and he would have all of his equipment. He would have the shield, the breastplate. He would have a helmet, the sword, and the shoes that they mention here. But this person wouldn't feel comfortable going into battle with unfamiliar stuff. He wouldn't go grab somebody else's armor, somebody else's sword, and immediately feel comfortable with it. He needed to train in these things. He trained with them. He wore them. He used them, and they became like old friends to him. He knew what they were going to do. He knew their effectiveness. He knew where he needed to be extra careful because it was going to be weak. And he was ready. He knew what he could do. And I think it's the same way with us. We need to become familiar with the armor that God has given us. We need to know it in and out. We need to become familiar with the sword, with prayer, with watching as our weapons, so that when the time comes, when those spiritual battles really get strong, that we're ready and we know exactly what our equipment's going to do. We're familiar with it. We know which one to call on. We know where to go. And I think it's easy for us to kind of slack in that. We kind of let these things go. We kind of, you know, well, we're not building our faith. We're not loving the truth like we should. Prayer, well, we pray to God now and then. And the Word, well, I've read it once or twice, and I think I know what it says. And no, those things should be familiar to us. They should be everyday familiar to us. So we want to rid our lives of the things that might hinder us from knowing that. We want to commit ourselves to loving God, to loving the truth, rather than loving something out here that the world says I ought to love. We want to build our faith in Christ. We don't want to tear it down by putting our faith in something else. We want to commit to seeking a deeper relationship with the Lord through His Word and through prayer, so that when the time comes when we get this really hard struggle, we're ready. We know what we can do. We know the answers. I shouldn't say we know the answers, because we may not know all the answers, but we know where to go for our help and for our faith. Be aware of our spiritual life. Pray every day. I remember years ago there was a man here who preached, and this happened a long time ago. I'm not sure why I remember it so well, but he preached about a passage in Ezekiel 47, and Ezekiel had this vision where he saw this body of water, and he was supposed to measure it. And he would go every so often, then he'd measure how deep the water was. And here it was ankle deep, and then further on it was waist deep, and finally it was to the point where he had to swim. And the preacher made the point that, you know, our relationship with God should progress to the point where we're in so deep that He's the only one that can help us, that everything of us is swallowed up, and God is everything to us. And I think that's right. I think we need to take that relationship with Jesus to the point where it becomes what we need, and it becomes what tells us how to win these battles. So in the conclusion, I'd like to read two verses here in 1 Timothy 6, verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I get a picture here of a man who's fighting through this jungle of adversity. He's got forces all around him that are trying to stop him. Things are reaching out to stop him. Voices are talking to him to try to get him just distracted. Maybe just to get him to stop and relax a little bit. But no, he's focused on going ahead. He's moving forward. He's fighting off the things that are trying to slow him down. And he's hanging on to the prize, the pearl of great price. He's hanging on to that with all his grip. He's got everything focused on hanging on to that. As he moves through that, nothing can pull this away or loosen it from his hold. Does that describe you and me today? Do we hold on to that prize carefully? Do we fight the good fight? Do we fight to keep that? Or do we let ourselves become distracted by other things when the most important fight of our lives is right here in our minds? Do we let ourselves become distracted by other issues, other battles that really are not so important, and we lose our grip? We need to be determined and hang on and hold fiercely to that prize and be committed, and the Lord will see us through that. So I guess the challenge I'd like to leave is, remember that the spiritual battles that you face, most of those battles are going to be in your mind, and maybe many times you won't see that battle in someone else so obviously, but each of us faces that battle, and as as a body, we can help each other. It talks about prayer being an offensive weapon. And I think by praying for each other, we can make this battle easier for our brother. And I was going to mention at the beginning that this is not a Mother's Day sermon, which you figured that out by now. But the thing I did have to think about is prayer as a mother's offensive weapon. And I think we read a lot about how mothers that pray and what the difference they can make in the lives of their children. And I truly believe that this is true. I truly believe that the prayer that we make for people makes a difference. And we sometimes go to it as a last resort, but that's not what it should be. That should be our everyday resort, is to pray. And I'm just grateful for all the mothers here who I believe pray for their children and for the prayers that my mother gave for me as well. And let's not forget those, to pray for our brother and to watch, to be aware of what's going on, and to be in the Bible as our offensive weapons. Ken, if I could you lead number 847 in the Christian hymnal? I'd like to sing that before we close.